You've been celebrating all week long. You've been celebrating the 4th. You've been celebrating independence. You've been celebrating freedom. We'll still do that today. The greatest freedom we have is that in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Can you say amen to that? Now, we talked about there was no condemnation in us last week because of what Jesus has done. Now, this week, we're talking about freedom from the past. Freedom from the past. Has anybody said or said to you, well, that's in the past? We know what that phrase is. Well, that's in the past. Now, is that a true statement? Maybe, and it may not be. What about you can't change the past, just focus on the future? Now, how hard's that to do? You can't change the past, just focus on the future. All that's okay, but it's not always easy to do. So we're going to keep talking about the freedoms we have in Christ. You know, when you're younger and somebody says that they got saved, especially in the teenage years, sometimes people say, well, you won't be having any fun anymore then if you get saved. And the world has this perception some way, if you get saved, you know, the fun's gone, the fun's done. You just can't have, that's such a lie, But the world sees it that way. So let's talk about freedoms today. On the screen, you see Romans 8, 12 through 15. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. Now, if we just stopped with the first little sentence here, it would be a sermon in itself. But we'll keep going. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. Now listen, Christian people, what this is. But it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, or Abba, Father. They say it both ways. Okay, brothers, and I'll add sisters this morning, we have an obligation. We have an obligation, but it's certainly not to the sinful nature. Because Jesus has saved you, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. If you've asked with a genuine, pure heart for the Lord to save you, he does that. So now we have an obligation after he does that, and that's to live by him, to be for him and be led by his Spirit. And there's no other way around it. That's what our obligation is. People said, well, you know, the past bothers me. The past, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know all that. Okay, maybe I don't. Maybe you don't know everything I've done. But the past is forgiven. Can you say amen to that? Is anybody in here don't have at least one thing in your past you're ashamed of? One thing in your past that you just wish you could take back and do all over again? Or any sin you want to talk about that you may be ashamed of. Everybody here has something they can think of. But we can enjoy freedom from the past. Why? Because we're adopted into the family of God. We're adopted into the family. And I'm thankful that we are. You didn't receive this spirit of fear or slavery, he says. You can be free. You can be free because you're adopted into the family. Yes, because of Jesus' death and resurrection, your faith in him. But that's what happens when we take Jesus as our Savior. He adopts us into the family of God. We sang about it this morning. I'm glad I'm part of the family of God, and I'm glad to be in that number too. In Romans here, when you were adopted in this time and setting, I mean life radically changed, big time. A lot of times, a man who didn't have a son, is what I'm trying to say, would adopt a child or a male or what have you. if you were adopted into that family, they had a procedure. They had a celebration, if you will. And that man, if here's the boy that he was adopting or son, then he took his old clothes off of him and he put on new clothes. The guy adopting him put on a new set of clothes. And it was symbolic. It was saying, here, you're this family. It's like you're like a blood son. This is important. You didn't, whatever. Just imagine a homeless child. Downtown Meridian, Clarkdale, wherever, a homeless child. No food, no bed, no shelter, anything. And you going and adopting them. You bring them home. And you say, hey, here's all the food, the shelter, the clothing, here's everything you need. Think of what that homeless child would feel like. We're adopted into the family of God. God takes us and he says, here, you were in sin and you were going to hell. That's the truth of the matter. But because you accepted me as Savior and Lord, I bring you into the family of God. I put a new set of clothes on you. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You are the bloodline. Jesus lives within you. You're my child. You're my daughter, my son. You're adopted in to this family of God. That's worth shouting about. That's worth proclaiming. That's worth telling somebody about, that they can be adopted into the family of God and be a child of the living God. So in this society here in Romans, it was a big, big celebration, if you will. And the same thing happens to us. We belong to Jesus as saved people. A king's kid, and that's good stuff. Brothers, listen, you've got an obligation. You've got an obligation since you've been adopted into the family. It's not to live for the sinful nature. It's not to do those things you once were doing. It is an obligation to live for God. It's an obligation to put Jesus first in his church and to love it. Love him and love his church. You have an obligation to that. Why is it we can't get modern day Christians to understand that? Why is it that we can't get modern day Christians to understand that? Young and old, young families going everywhere, every kind of tournament on Sunday and Wednesday and everything. And I know I'm not getting on the soapbox long. But it's this competition, that competition. Well, we would be there, but guess what? Here's this competition, here's this holiday, here's that, and here's the other. Week after week after week after week, the obligation is to go have fun. The obligation is to go do what I want to or everything my kids want me to do. My brothers and sisters, we have an obligation to Jesus Christ the Lord, the one who saved us. We have an obligation to not live as the world and the sinful nature. We have an obligation to the one who saved us. Therefore, brothers, it's in Romans 8:12. We have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature, to live according to it. I owe God everything that I am or hope to be. Can you say that in your heart? Do you believe that today, that you owe God everything that you are or hope to be or whatever? It belongs to God. He's the one who saved you out of sin. He's the one who's going to replace an eternal destiny of hell's flame, hell's fire, where the worm never dies, where the punishment and the fire of hell will be through eternity. Jesus is the one that saved me from that. And I am promised a home in heaven with streets of gold and the crystal sea and everything being perfect beyond what my human brain can even imagine. I have an obligation to the one who saved me, and we all do. We have an obligation to him first, and we want the Spirit of God to lead us. We don't want death and destruction. Look at Colossians 3, 5 through 10. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And here's a long list. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God's coming. It's plain and simple, the wrath of God's coming because of stuff like that. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as anger and rage and malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've been taken off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being rewarded in knowledge in the image of its creator. That stuff's gone. That's old stuff. We're a new creature, a creature in Christ. You put on the good things of God now and live for Him. You didn't get this spirit to fall back in sin, to fall back in slavery. We are to be free. And we've got to embrace that mindset. I am free. I am free indeed. I am a child of the King. I am a King's kid. Why? Because I'm so good looking? No. Don't laugh. Just keep sitting there like this. Don't laugh. No, you're serious this morning. Because of Jesus. Therefore, what? I have a what? An obligation. I have an obligation to Him. When I was growing up, if I had a problem, I really and honestly could go to my mom and dad and tell them about that problem. Sometimes kids say they don't do that and can't do that. I never did feel that way. Now, I knew what was coming sometimes, but I could always go. And they provided everything I needed, the food, the shelter, the clothes, you know how it is. They provided all, and they'd help you. I wasn't afraid of my parents, but I held them in high respect. Because if you saw that big hand go up, you had some respect. Because when it come across, it wasn't good. Now, I wasn't afraid of them, but I had high respect. Because they would help, and I knew they would do that. And we need to feel that way about the Lord. Now, we don't have a spirit of, the people, we get it confused sometimes, the fear of God. You know, yes, we know there is a fear of Almighty God to some degree now. We know we just can't get past that sometimes. But as His child, I am His child. I am a King's kid. And I owe Him. I am obligated to Him. I have deep respect and reverence for Him. But I don't have to be afraid. I think it's the same way with our Heavenly Father. We're lost. We have a spirit of sin. We get saved. We have a freedom, a forgiveness, and that goes away. And we have to embrace that mindset. And it's hard. It's harder for some than others to embrace this new mindset. I'm saved. I'm no longer lost. I have an obligation to serve the Lord. Well, I can't do that good enough. Join the club. Not an excuse to sin, it's not an excuse to fail, but it is realizing who we are and who He is, that we need Him daily. We get saved yesterday, and every day from then on, we need Him. We need the Spirit leading us. We need to be sensitive to what the Lord says. And that's why so many people in the, quote, public arena out here, or I believe, and you may agree and may not, is afraid for this name of God to be brought up. Because they know down deep in their heart, yes, there's a God, yes, there's a heaven, and yes, there's a devil, and yes, there's a hell. And we can't be having this name of God brought up in all our public areas and arenas of life and politics and this and that and the other, because what we are is a bunch of people living not according to God's law, not according to God's grace or mercy either, and we don't want that name to make us feel bad. I don't want to, you say God or Jesus saves. Well, that means save. If He's going to save us, something must be lost. And I'm in that camp over here, and I just don't want to hear it. We have an obligation, the Christians, the saved, the redeemed. We have an obligation to be led by the Spirit. We have an obligation to Him. We owe all we are to Him. Therefore, we must proclaim this name of Jesus and that it's important. We must do it. We've got to embrace this mindset that we are a king's kid. What then shall we say to these things? If God's for us, who can be against us, the Bible says. And we've got to have that mindset. Look with me at Romans 8:16-17. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. Now, if we are children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. We can enjoy freedom from the past. Why is that? Because we're an heir to the kingdom of God and to Jesus Christ. The past, we've all made mistakes, we've all sinned, we've all failed. There's no way around it. But we don't have to stay there because we can be free from that past because we're saved by the blood of Jesus, because we've asked for forgiveness, because his grace and mercy is available and he forgives us and we're an heir to the throne and to the king. Galatians on the screen says this, Galatians 4, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons, because you are sons. God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you're a son, God has made you also an heir to God, a king's kid. That's who we are. We belong to him. So we live like that. Not only do we live like that when we want to or when we feel like it, but we have a what? An obligation. Don't forget that word. In the NIV, that's Romans 8:12, verse 12. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, not to that sinful nature, but to the Lord. We have an obligation. Parents oftentimes, they get a little older and they think, well, I would like to leave an inheritance to my children. I know there's a lot of children hoping so, that parents do that, that they'll leave an inheritance, you know, for the kids. And you see all these bumper stickers years ago. I've not saw one in a while, but it said, I'm spending my kids' inheritance, you know, on the bumper sticker. They're going on. They worried about that. If you knew your parents was going to give you an inheritance, if you knew that, and it was whatever sum of money or whatever, you knew that was coming, how would that make you feel? Well, it doesn't even compare to what God is saying to us. Listen, here's this inheritance. Let me tell you about heaven. Let me tell you about what I've got planned for you. Well, you say, well, the eye can't even see and the mind can't even fathom all this good stuff that God has for us, which is true. But I've got an inheritance for you. That's what God's saying to his people. I've got an inheritance for you. And you say, well, I'll tell you, last week was mighty rough. Or if you only knew, preacher, this event that took place 2 months ago in my life, I don't even know. I don't even know anymore. Listen to me. We're all in the same boat. We all go through seasons of life that are not pleasant. We all are tempted sometimes. We all have things happen to us we just don't understand. But be faithful. Be faithful to what you know is true. Not what emotion you feel today, but what you know is true. That you know that God loves you. You know Jesus died for you. You know he arose on the third day. You know he ascended into heaven. You know that he sent the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. You know you're a king's kid. You know you're a child of the living God, no matter what happens tomorrow. You know it. Because, how do you know it? Because you spent enough time in prayer. Because you spent enough time in the Word of God that you're reading His promises to His children, and you're reading it more than you're staying on Facebook. You're reading His Word more than you're watching TV. Sometime in the day, you have a set part of your day that you're in what is absolute truth, and that's the Word of God. Absolute truth is found in the Word of God. And we don't spend enough time in it, therefore we forget who we are. And I submit to you, if you're saved by the blood of Jesus, you are a king's kid. You're an heir. You have an inheritance. And we need to live that way. We have an obligation. And if we're going to live that way and we're going to collect it one day, we ought to be living for the Lord. So, you're a new creature. You belong to Jesus. And we know who we are. So, we act that way. Well, I had a bad day the other day, and I didn't act too good. We all can say that, too. But as a general rule, you're acting like a king's kid. You're acting like you belong to Christ because you have an obligation to do that and to serve Him. I was in a business in town here the other day and had a little work I had to have done. And I was going to pay my bill. And before I know it, this guy that owned the business had a big old gun out in the parking lot. And I said to him, "It's okay, I'm going to pay my bill." I wouldn't mention Steve Waltman's name. But anyway, did I let that slip? I'll pay the bill. I'm just kidding. But somebody brought a big old gun through there. I walked around the corner and put my hands up. Now, what'd that have to do with this sermon? He said, "I don't know, but I wish you'd get off of it pretty quick." We have an obligation to live for the Lord and to know who we are in Him. Not the old way of life. I don't know the name of the song exactly, but I can remember hearing it as a kid at a place called Russell's Chapel Church of God. Russell's Chapel. It was not a Church of God. It was an independent Baptist church. And they all went to the altar and prayed all at one time. You ever been around those folks? They make a lot of noise and they pray all at one time, but they meant business. A little different, but they meant business. I've gone too far to turn back now or something. I forgot how that old song goes. Some of you probably think about it a minute, you'll know it. I've gone too far to turn back now. You feel that way with the Lord? That you've just come too far now to turn back. I've just gone too far now to turn back. I wished I could remember the rest of that, but I can't. So it's okay. We're all in this process of growing and loving the Lord and Him loving us, and He's teaching and we're maturing and we're going down the journey, so to speak. Folks, you've just gone too far to turn back now. All of us, the church, our country, you know, we've just come too far to just forget the things of God. So we're not going to. There's too much at stake. There's too much at stake for us not to be proactive. There's too much at stake for us not to proclaim the name of Jesus or live for Him. There's too much at stake. The future. When I'm long gone. I've already started praying for Canon. Just as soon as I knew about it. I've already been praying that Canon would love the Lord. That Canon Lane Dooley. What a name, Dooley. That Canon Lane would know the Lord at the age of accountability. That my children and my grandchildren and great-grandchildren, if I have them, will serve the Lord. Do I have control over that? No, I do not have any control over it whatsoever. But what I can do is pray like I've never prayed before. You have children. You have grandchildren. You have great-grandchildren. And some of you have so many great-great-greats I can't get it straight. There's too much at stake, folks, not to take serious our obligation to serve the Lord. There's too much at stake in your own family. There's too much at stake in your extended family and in this church family and this community we call Clarkdale and in the state and the nation. There's too much at stake for us not to be bold and reclaim that which hell has stolen. If hell thinks it can claim a child like Canon Lane Dooley, and the devil would love to, that he would never be saved, and Satan destroy his life. That's reality. But I'll tell you one thing, it won't be because I have prayed and prayed and prayed that God would be there and his parents would have that obligation to serve the Lord and raise him in the fear and admonition of the Lord. It won't be because I don't try to set the right example before them. It won't be because Judy and I don't get on our knees and cry out to God for his mercy and his grace and his watch care over a child. Do I have any control of what he will do and become? No, I don't. That little fellow right there that you hold, Miles and Danielle, you better be on your knees praying for those three kids. I don't care how busy you are or what part of the world you in or how what all life's going. You better get on your knees and be right before God and be on your knees praying for those three children because you have an obligation. You're an heir of the King, saved by the blood of Jesus. Now let me pick out another one too. Back there to that youth pastor, you know he's wild, Bill is. And Amanda's sitting there with Knox maybe in here, I guess he is. I just think, yeah, I can't see. I know Bill's praying. You better hang on, buddy, and pray. He's got parents and grandparents here and great-grandparents. His just is in a different state praying. God in heaven, I know I'm an heir to the kingdom. I know I'm saved by the blood. But let me tell you, here's my little son. Here's my little grandson. Here's whatever. And God, I'm laying them out before the throne of God. Well, I don't know where all that come from, but I believe it's true. And everybody in here is in that boat. It's just a little real to me, more real, because of where I'm at in life right now. Oh, I have an obligation. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. But it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. Because if we live according to that sinful nature, we'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death those misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. Sonship. So, here we are, getting ready to close. If you're truly saved, and you and God knows that now, I can't go around and say, okay, that one's saved, that one's lost. That's not my job. My job is to proclaim that Jesus saves. And I say to you, if you're saved today, you're free from the past. Live like it. Get a new mindset and move forward. I say to you, as I did it at the prayer time, be bold and reclaim that which hell has stolen, whatever that means in your individual life. So I'm thankful you're here today. I'm thankful that I can say God loves you. I am thankful today that I can say that Jesus died for my sin and your sin and the sins of the world. I'm thankful that I can say, listen here, if you're covered by the blood of Jesus, you're an heir to the throne and of Christ and of God, and heaven will be your home. But we live on a battlefield. We're not in heaven right now. So I encourage you this day to remember you have an obligation to the one who saved you to live for him. Too much at stake not to. Would you stand with me this morning? I pray, Lord Jesus, this day that we be sensitive to what your Spirit is saying. We thank you, Lord God, for this day, and we're thankful, Father, for every song that was sang, the special. Prepare our hearts, God, to worship you. And all that's been said and done right here, prayers that's been prayed. And now, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, wherever we find ourselves in our journey in life today, if there's anybody in the building that knows they're lost, they just know they don't have a relationship with Jesus, I pray they'll come to this altar and say, I want to be forgiven. I want to be a child of the King. Lord, there's Christians here, I know many, and they love you. We also know, God, that don't make us superhuman, that we're still in a sin-cursed world and we're human. The Spirit of God may have brought to whoever's mind something that hell is stealing from them, or maybe he's already stolen. And God, today my prayer is that all of us in this room will be bold and come reclaim that which hell has stolen. We'll put the devil in his rightful place through the blood of Jesus Christ and walk out of this place today saying, oh, I have a duty, I have an obligation, but thank God I have a freedom to serve Christ. He's the one who saved me. He's the one who gives me life and breath, and that's who I will serve. We love you, Lord Jesus. Work in our hearts, I pray. In your mighty name, amen.